say goodbye. I could love you.
Well, okay, maybe I'm not the best singer in the world. All right, but nevertheless, I do like that song. All right, we'll get rid of that and we'll talk. So how is everybody doing? Welcome to Alternative Perspectives. I am your host. This is Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting the queer community. And Sharon is finishing up here. That was quite a show there.
I'm back.
All right. So first thing we need to do is the disclaimer. You were listening. Well, I already said that. The disclaimer, the opinions expressed here are those of myself and my guests, and I do have one guest, and do not necessarily represent the views of WRFG, its employees, board, volunteers, funders, or listeners. The disclaimer is particularly important tonight because we are going to be talking on tonight's show about something that I have actively been resisting talking about until this evening, and that is the state that this country is in at this moment as a result of the actions of our lovely, fearful leader, President Trump. Now, you know, I didn't want to talk about this stuff because you hear it all over television, you hear it all over the radio, usually it's a lot of sound bites, and it's gotten to the point where we don't really listen anymore, you know? And so what happens if we don't listen to what's going on? That means we don't know what's going on. You miss things that are happening almost daily, rights that are being taken away, regulations that are being rolled back on the environment, things that are happening with the economy that aren't necessarily good, like the national debt, and we're missing trends, and we become numb. And so I felt it necessary, and the biggest thing of all as it relates to this show, because we're all about queer issues, is is hate crimes and what's been going on since Trump has sort of legitimized hate in this country. But so I wanted to give people kind of up-to-date information in a variety of areas to give you a picture of what the country is going through at this point. And with us, we have someone who's been with us before, Jennifer Maddox. Say hello, Jenny. Let's see if you're...
Hello, Greg. Oh. And where's my bell?
Oh, wow. Oh, you sound... Oh, do I need the bell already?
Okay. Oh, yes.
All right. So Jenny is an ally. She's not gay herself. Wow, I do need it. Anyway, she's going to be with me tonight as we talk. And during the time that we talk, there it is again. I have become aware that I have a problem of saying and while I'm talking on the air. So Jennifer has a little bell. And anytime I say or on the... Well, that was as it was... anytime I say it on the air, she is going to be ringing the bell to make sure that I'm aware of this so that I stop doing that. So that's kind of what the goal is. That's what the goal is. I think she's going to have a very good time, but I'm guessing I'll stop doing it. But before we get into Trump...
News of the queer.
I know that's right.
Oh, no, she didn't say what?
All right, and as you know, in this part of the show, we talk about various events that have been occurring. You'll see there'll be a little bit of pause where I normally would say, which I'm not going to say now because she'll ring the bell. Well, there she goes. All right. I won't be doing that. And let's see what happens. So we're going to start locally with news of the queer. This is not funny at all.
Maybe we should do it just for the queer news and then stop. What do you think?
Well, hopefully I won't do it as much.
Okay, sorry.
All right. So this happened in this has been happening in Atlanta and Midtown over the last 2 weeks, and I just felt like it was important that you know this. I did not know this. A man was stabbed multiple times and robbed in Piedmont Park several days after a similar attack less than 2 miles away.
I heard about that, yes.
Really?
I did, yes.
The incidents are connected, and police have added extra patrols in the area, according to Major Michael O'Connor, commander of the Atlanta Police Department's Major Crimes Section. That's our biggest concern here, is that we've had these stabbing incidents, and the injuries have been fairly substantial. The first incident occurred on July 18th, and today's the 30th, so it was 12 days ago, around 10:30 p.m. on Peachtree Street near 4th Street. The victim, who was visiting from California, was having dinner at City Tap House. I've never been there. Anyway, with his supervisor, when he stepped outside to have a cigarette, he was approached by three people, according to O'Connor. They were able to entice him by saying they knew of a party, and did he want to go with them? After leading the man into an isolated area, they grabbed him in a chokehold, threw him to the ground, robbed him, and stabbed him 8 times. The victim is now out of the hospital. The second incident occurred 3 days ago in Piedmont Park just after midnight. The victim was cutting through the park to get to the Midtown MARTA station, according to the incident report. The man was listening to music on his headphones, so he was kind of oblivious to what was going on around
him. Couldn't hear.
So that's an important thing to kind of remember, especially at night. I mean, and I love during the day. I like walking around with headphones on, but if you're in an area at night.
At night.
And you're by yourself, you should not have your headphones on and listening to music because you can't hear. And he couldn't hear when he was suddenly grabbed from behind, put in a chokehold, and stabbed 7 to 8 times. So the three suspects threw the man to the ground, kicked him in the head, stole his iPhone and wallet, and fled the scene. So this is a big deal. And we need to be aware of our surroundings, particularly in the Midtown area. Atlanta police are encouraging people to become aware of their surroundings. Wow, apparently I know what I'm talking about. Anyone with information on the suspects is encouraged to call Crime Stoppers at 404-577-8477. That's 404-577-8477. I mean, how horrible is that, you know, that we've got this going on in Midtown Atlanta with the crime and the park? I think the park closes, though, technically, but it's not like you put a fence around it. So
right.
I don't think. Whew. Anyway. No, I'm wooing because this is really tough.
Thinking about saying it.
Yeah, but I'm doing okay.
You're now. Doing
it's
real good.
A little bit better. So this is last week. This happened in California. This is a bit of good news.
It was a little one.
Yeah. Los Angeles is set to become the largest city in the United States to formally include LGBTI-owned operated businesses. Basically what this means... that Los Angeles will be the largest city by both population and economy to include LGBTQ-owned businesses in its contract procurement procedures. You know, a lot of the federal and state local governments have contract procurement initiatives for certain businesses, particularly those run by minorities or women. But so you'll find many cities wanting to... give contracts to minorities, but have not included, or at least have not stated, that they want to include queer in that, or LGBTQ. But this is starting to change. A number of other cities have included LGBT businesses in their procurement processes. Orlando, Baltimore, and Nashville, which is a little surprising to me. I guess Nashville's become a very liberal city. It is in Tennessee, which is certainly not liberal. But that's good news. According to the National LGBT Chamber of Commerce, gay businesses contribute $1.7 trillion to the economy, and they create more than 3,300 jobs, but I think that's probably 33,000 jobs a year. But California is the largest city, followed by its neighbor, which is Long Beach. So... can't say anything other than that, otherwise she will ring that bell. All right. She's having a good time. Let's go international. So this is actually awful. This is Moscow in Russia. This happened today. Two adopted children were forcibly removed from their home by authorities. The reason... Their parents were a gay male couple who had legally adopted them. So at the present time, it is legal to adopt a child in Russia if you are single. So this was a single man that had adopted a child 10 years earlier, two children.
Wow.
Has a partner. They've been together for years. On June 19th, the two men brought one of their sons to a Moscow hospital to treat a suspected case of appendicitis. But the doctor found out, or when the doctor found out that the boy had two dads, he immediately reported them to the ICR, which is the Investigative Committee of Russia. The committee went on to sue the social workers who approved the children's adoption for negligence.
Ah, you're kidding.
And it ordered the authorities to remove the boys from the home. In July, authorities from the committee tried multiple times to search the dad's apartment and the homes of their immediate family. Eventually, investigators broke down the doors of the men of the home of the men and one of the brothers. They also interrogated one of the fathers for 3 hours. So these kids were taken out of their home screaming and crying. They were 12 and 14. They've been in the custody of these two kids for 10 years. And according to authorities, there were no signs of trouble. The children grew up in an intelligent and calm atmosphere, and the parents took care of the children. A psychologist who assessed the family found no evidence of abuse. In fact, the psychologist reported a healthy and close emotional connection between parents and children. The adoption agency made visits after the adoption between 2010 and 2019 and reported that the men looked after the boys very well. The neighbors were present during the search. They gave comments to the media in which they had only good things to say about the family. So this is happening in Russia. And, well, I just think it's horrible.
I do, too. Yeah. It's just terrible.
But it's not as horrible as Cyprus, which
wow.
I think Cyprus, I'm almost positive it's an island in the Mediterranean Sea. You don't know that. I think it's true, though.
For some reason, I keep thinking Egypt.
No,
I don't know why.
I think it's an island in the Mediterranean Sea. You can look it up. This was Cyprus. A bishop has claimed that, listen to this, Jenny.
Yeah.
If a pregnant woman enjoys, watch the mic.
Sorry.
We really are professional here, I promise you. It's Jenny, it's not me. If a pregnant woman enjoys anal sex, this is what a bishop is claiming, this will transfer to the baby and the baby will be gay.
Oh my God.
The shocking revelation came from the most revered metropolitan Neophytus of Morphor. It's some leader of a church in Cyprus. This was on Tuesday of last week, so I guess it was a week ago. In a short video posted on YouTube, this gentleman who leads this Church of Cyprus said, "The lack of spirituality and knowledge of Christ and the Orthodox religion is what's creating homosexuals. The fault lies with the parents who pass on the sickness of homosexuality," the bishop claimed. This is 2019,
I know,
folks.
That's why I was like,
yeah.
And in the location, it is an island country in the eastern Mediterranean and the third and most populous island in the Mediterranean.
Yeah,
located south of Turkey and north of Egypt.
Yeah, it's. I looked at going there when we were going to take a trip to Israel. I was
thinking
about going there, but all right. So basically, this is the point that this gentleman is making, this bishop. When a woman enjoys anal sex or any abnormal sexual contact, a desire is created. So if the woman enjoys it, then she is desirous of it. And then that desire is transmitted to the unborn children. Gays are created due to the anal sex of a straight couple, and only if the woman is into it. So in other words, if the woman is not feeling pleasure, then nothing will get transmitted to the unborn child.
Wow.
So this is in 2019, folks.
2019, and that's such warped thinking.
Yes, and as is what's happening in Russia.
Yes.
And let's keep in mind, that Russia is somebody that Trump is cozying up to. You would want somebody like a president of America to speak out against some of these things that are happening around the globe. And of course, that is not occurring at the present time. But we'll talk more about that as we get more into our lovely president and what's happening with this country. One more thing, and this is just for fun. Why did it suddenly get a lot quieter in here? Have you noticed that?
It is quiet.
It's very quiet. I'm very concerned about that.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? Why don't we all take a minute, especially if you're driving, just
take a close deep your breath. Eyes.
Take your. No, I'm just kidding. This is just for fun. While appearing on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, this happened on Sunday.
Oh, I love
Sunday.
That show. Do you I love really? It. Oh, yes.
No, I don't get into any. Well, I
like Andy Cohen. He's awesome.
Well, it's Jeffrey, my partner, loves Andy Cohen.
Oh, I
as
love
well.
Andy Cohen. Yay.
Do you have a crush on Andy Cohen? Do you think
no,
he's attractive?
No, I like his show, Watch What Happens Live. It's like 30 minutes, and it's just fun. He has a muzzle of the week and a jackal, and he has interesting.
Okay, a mazel of the week?
Yeah,
that's
like
a Jewish term.
Yeah, he's Jewish. You didn't know that?
No, no wonder he's so successful. I'm Jewish. You know, we're trying to take over the world, you know. Anyway, while on the show, the Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, Lance Bass, former
I think
performer,
I saw the show.
Really?
Yes.
Of NSYNC, revealed that he came out to Britney Spears on the night of her first wedding.
Yes.
So
yes.
Cohen brought up Spears when he said to Bass during the conversation, "I remember you telling me Britney Spears was one of the first people you came out to." Bass confirmed this, and then Cohen asked what her reaction was, and that spawned this pretty remarkable story. So apparently, and I'm not up on Britney Spears' personal life, but apparently her first marriage. She got married in 2004 to a childhood friend, Jason Alexander.
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
Which
yes.
is not the Jason Alexander
And remember, that was like a big deal. It's like, it's not Jason Alexander from Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, yeah. 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 Can you see Britney Spears?
With Jason Alexander. Oh,
I don't
God.
Think so. All right. Anyway, so Spears got married in 2004. And the marriage, however, was annulled only 55 hours later. It happened in Las Vegas, and I think right. she must have been inebriated or under
yeah,
the influence during the time.
Yeah, it was just a joke, I think. You know, they were just there so, in Vegas.
Apparently, she was freaking out right after it happened. This Lance Bass went to Vegas to see what was going on. I guess was friends with her. Spears did have some understanding of what had occurred, and because she, I guess, didn't quite know, but she realized she'd gotten married. She was not happy about it. She said that she was very upset once she realized. She started crying while Lance was there. Lance told her, or took her to the bedroom. They sat on the bed. She wouldn't stop crying. So Lance is like, "Well, I'm gay."
That's right. That's what he said. I remember it now. Yes, he did say that.
And
yes.
It made her stop crying.
Yeah.
And she actually started laughing. She chuckled. So I think what I'm trying to say, the most important part of all of this is if you're gay, or even if you're not, and somebody's speaking to you and telling you that they're upset, probably the best thing that you can do to help them is to tell them that you're gay. So I think that that's the best way that you can help people. And with that, we will take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go to town and talk about Donnie Trump.
I'm not afraid to What's the best way to enjoy Labor Day here in Atlanta? Music lovers know it's WRFG's Labor Day Blues Barbecue. Please join us Monday, September 2nd at the Park Tavern in Piedmont Park for a family-friendly all-day blues blowout. Our headliner is award-winning Alligator Records recording artist Selwyn Birchwood.
You got to practice what you preach. Break the habit of hypocrisy.
Along with Selwyn Birchwood, the lineup includes gifted guitarist and drummer Larry Griffin, prolific singer-songwriter Bill Sheffield with drummer Sandra Sin, and Eddie 9V, led by the talented 22-year-old Brooks Mason. And WRFG is proud to dedicate our 34th annual Blues Barbecue to one of the best-known trombonists in the blues, Little Joe Burton, who will be performing with the rousing Atlanta Horns. Please join us Monday, September 2nd at the Park Tavern in Piedmont Park. It's going to be a great day for the blues. The doors will open at noon, the music will start at 1 and won't stop until 8 p.m. The Park Tavern in Piedmont Park is in Midtown, right on the corner of 10th Street and Monroe Drive. Tickets are $18 in advance through WRFG.org or $25 at the door. Kids under 12 get in free. Proceeds benefit Atlanta's independent community radio station for progressive information and hand-picked quality music, WRFG 89.3 FM. We're streaming worldwide over our free mobile app and WRFG.org.
And we are back. For those of you that are just joining us, you are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. This is Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting the queer community. I'm your host, Greg Bossen. With me tonight, we have Jennifer Maddox. Say hello, Jenny.
Hello, world. How are you?
That's right. And we are going to be talking about what has been occurring in the country over the last couple of years since President Trump has gotten into office.
It's actually two and a half.
Is it two and a half years? It seems like 200.
It does.
So I want to start by saying that I know that many of you that are listening are progressive in nature, but there are many other people that matter in terms of who gets elected in 2020. Moderates, independents. Now, there are certainly people that feel very positive about Donald Trump. These are people that I think go to the rallies. But there are a number of others, many, 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 many other people who voted for Trump in 2016. Part of the reason was because they weren't fans of Hillary Clinton. And part of the reason was they felt that he was going to change things, shake things up, and do something good for the economy. So all of the ridiculousness that he said during the election, they sort of ignored. And here we are, 2.5 years in, and let's take a look at what has happened. Now, before we get into the specifics of what has been happening with the economy and other areas, I wanted to start by having Jenny read something that she found about the increase in hate crimes. So, Jenny, go ahead and...
Okay.
Where was this from? Do you remember?
Yeah, I've got it all right here.
Okay.
Well, first I want to say, and this is what it emphasizes, is that words really do have consequences.
Yes.
And this was a study. It's being reported by the Washington Post. The study was three researchers. They were all professors or graduate students of the political science at the University of North Texas. They wanted to find out whether Trump's divisive rhetoric on the campaign trail played a role in emboldening white nationalists. And so they used data from the Anti-Defamation League, and they mapped out reported incidents of hate crimes. And what they discovered was that counties that hosted political rallies with Donald Trump as the headliner in 2016, it saw a 226% increase in hate crimes over comparable counties that did not host such a rally in subsequent months. I mean, that is huge.
Yeah, it's a huge statistic, and I don't know, you know, there's a couple of ways you can look at it. statistically, that proves what we already know.
Yes, that his rhetoric, the things that he was saying, incited people to go and do a hate crime in those counties where mm-hmm. they had rallies.
Well, he's legitimized it. He's legitimized exactly. hate. Hate of homosexuals, hate of Jews.
Right.
And hate of Muslims. And I keep saying again.
This is where I get stuck. I missed it.
Yeah.
And one other thing was, we also looked at another study, and what it showed was...
Ding.
I said,
Yeah,
you did. Did I really? Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay. I didn't know I did it, too.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so what it showed was that... It's hard, you know. You want to go, it showed that...
Just do it. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, I think we'll... what it showed was that the rhetoric that he had... when he was elected, he became the president, there was a spike in hate crimes the fourth quarter in 2016, which definitely correlates to the fact that he was elected.
Well, and hate crimes are up. Everybody knows that. You said it was 17%, I thought you said.
Right, in 2017. Because, see, a lot of these studies, it takes time to get the data and everything. Mm-hmm. 17% increase from 2016. So in 2017, there was a 17% increase.
Yeah, and I mean, we looked for statistics since then, but I think it's fair to say that they've continued to increase.
Yeah, they're just, like, right now, they're postulating
the,
it, you know.
The kid that was, ooh, good word, postulating.
Yes.
The kid that shot people in California at the garlic festival the other day.
Yes.
So that was a young white male. Most of the people that work in that area are Latino. Wow. And so it wasn't surprising that something like this would happen. But, I mean, it continues. You could just see it every single day. And it's scary. It's scary. Kids going to school, other children taunting people of color, Latin American kids saying go home or build the wall. You see these, and that's the thing that I'm really worried about with the hate speech.
Oh yeah.
Is that what are we teaching our children?
Exactly. Yes.
And I mean he's name calling. He calls people names, just straight up name calling.
Yeah, he's definitely,
I mean, it's baby it's stuff that you would see that a child would do.
It is.
And yet he's the president of the United States, and we've just become numb to it. It doesn't seem to matter. And the reason, and I have a friend of mine who, he's my trainer, but he's also a friend, and he doesn't pay any attention to news at all. And I think that's part of the problem. A lot of these people, they don't pay attention to the news at all. They know he's an idiot, but they don't care as long as the economy is fine, as long as it's affecting them fine.
Well, they would care if they were being deported out of the country, exactly, as many others have been.
Well, that's
under his reign.
Well, we'd like to think that we would be interested in the health and welfare of other people, because ultimately, as we help other people, we help ourselves.
Right.
And that is not at play here. What's at play right now is all I care about is myself.
Yes.
And all I care about is how much money I have in my pocket in the immediate term.
Exactly.
I don't care about anything else.
It's not happening in my world. It's not affecting me immediately.
Right.
But see, the problem with that is, let's look back to Hitler.
Right.
You know, if we keep letting this happen, what is going to happen eventually?
Right.
I mean, big things could change.
Well, I think that is a possibility. Now, and they freak out whenever we try and compare him to Hitler. But already, just as an example, I know that there's a lot of people that voted for Trump that would say that my right to marry a man as a gay man, that's not going to be taken away. Oh, that'll never happen. Or Roe v. Wade is never going to be overturned.
I mean, it's coming down the pike.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Georgia with the heartbeat.
It's a real problem. It's a real possibility. But I wanted to pivot back to the economy for a second, but actually before we go there, I do need to just say thank you for listening. This is Greg Bossen. You are listening to WRFG FM 89.3 Atlanta, and this is Alternative Perspectives. We're talking, unfortunately or fortunately, about Donald Trump. And what I really want to do is I want to give some statistics to you, the listener, about what's happening in some other areas. We know hate crimes are up. We know that he is pushing hate. He's using it.
He is.
But there are, as I said, there are many people that are willing to look the other way on that because they feel like the economy is in a better place than it ever has been. And in some ways, that is true. I wanted to share just a couple of statistics here, which I need to see where they are. I've got to flip through papers here. Yes, yeah, so one thing that's been good about the economy, and I mean, I'm fair here, so if something's improving, I'm going to say it. The employment rate. So in June of 2019, the unemployment rate is 3.7%. I mean, this is the lowest it's been in, I don't know, 50, 60 years. It's incredibly low, the unemployment rate. What I want to point out, though, about this, I guess what I want to say is this because Donald Trump has become president that the unemployment rate has gone down? I'm not so sure. When you look back at the unemployment rate from 2008 through 2019, in 2009, the unemployment rate was 9.5%. Now, that was right after the crash, not surprising. Ever since then, every single year, it's gone down. 2009 was 9.5. 2010 was 9.4. 11 was 9.1. 2012 was 8.2. I'll jump. 2014 was 6.1. 2016 was 4.9. So when Donald Trump got into office, the unemployment rate was at 4.3. It is now at 3.7. Now, this is a trend that's been occurring since 2009, and most of that was under Obama. To try and say that this is because of something that Trump has done, I think is ridiculous.
Well, and also black unemployment is still double that of white unemployment, and the wage gap between the races is worsening.
Is it?
Yes. And I've got a quote here from Valerie Wilson, who is the director of the Program on Race, Ethnicity, and the Economy at the Economic Policy Institute, which is a think tank. She says, the most we could say about falling black unemployment is that he hasn't done anything to reverse that trend, not that he's been helpful. So basically, he hasn't helped the situation.
Right. No, I mean, the only thing that you can really say that has happened since he got into office that may affect the economy that he's had any part of is the Tax Act of 2017.
And who did that help?
Right. So that helped. As a matter of fact, I can tell you who that helped.
Because the perception was that it was going to help everybody.
Right. That was
perception. That's how he made it sound. Everybody's getting a tax cut. Woohoo!
Right. But the lion's share of it, and I'm trying to get to where the statistics, where I wrote
and
this.
And as a matter of fact, for me personally, this past tax, I had to pay tax for the first time. Yeah. In many, many years. And I have three kids, and it was a shocker to
me. Well, I'm a CPA by trade. For those of you that don't know, I do around 225 tax returns a year. So I got to see firsthand. And I will say the vast majority of taxpayers that were right in the middle of the road saw either a slight decrease, a slight increase, or around the same. Nothing else much there. Where I saw big increases were people that made a lot of money.
So it's if you make a lot of money.
Yeah, well, if you have your own business, first of all, what they did was they lowered the corporate rates dramatically, much, much more than they lowered the individual rates. So big corporations did very well. Smaller corporations did well as well. They had it was a very complicated tax law thing that it didn't make tax law easier, that I can promise you. But smaller corporations got a big deduction as well. Just individual wage earners, though, they saw deductions go away. For instance, unreimbursed employee expenses went away, and state income taxes and withholding that got decreased. And what I saw was an increase, not a decrease, in the vast majority of individuals. So that is not who got helped.
But of course, Trump would say, well, I'm helping the corporations and the small businesses, and it's the old trickle-down economics.
Right.
It's going to trickle down to you little guys down there. Yeah. You're going to get jobs and raises.
Yeah, but if you talk to people that are in the 1%, the people that are benefiting, they'll tell you that that's not what's going
to
happen.
And they're not going to give it to the little people down. They're going to keep it for themselves.
I mean, think about it. You're not going to just, oh, well, here I have extra money.
Oh, so I'm going to give it. Yeah, I'm going to.
Or I'm going to go hire a bunch of people. Not necessarily. More than likely, you'd keep that money somewhere else.
Exactly.
Invest it for your children. But anyway, I wanted to say that. Speaking of like income disparity, so this is kind of shocking. Let's see here. The top 1% of America in terms of wage earners averaged 39 times more income than the bottom 90%.
Oh my God.
Top 1%. Now, this is another one that's really big. Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and I think, is that Amazon?
Bezos.
And Warren Buffett. Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Warren Buffett. Those three individuals, their combined wealth, like all of their assets, is $100 billion more than all of the wealth of half of the country, the bottom half of the country. These three individuals, their combined wealth is $350 billion. The bottom 50% of this country, if you added up all their wealth, all their assets, it's $250 billion. So the wealth disparity is huge.
It is.
It really is. So, but I want to come back to the this idea of a tax cut and how this is going to help people. When it comes, now I'm 54 now. I like to think I'm starting to have a little bit of wisdom about things, and not necessarily just with the economy, but in general. When you make decisions based on a short-term, immediate gain without any long-term plan or strategy, you do get that short-term gain. But in the long run, I think you're in trouble. And we've got a president who makes decisions
short-term
based on short-term gains. And really, a lot of it is just based on what he's feeling in the moment and his emotions and his ego. So the idea that we would lower taxes, and it's true that it flooded the stock market, basically.
Right.
There was a lot more money.
Short term, it was good.
It was good for the market and good for investors short term. But the other thing that it did is it helped to increase the national debt.
Right.
And the debt, which is probably, besides the environment, I think it's one of the biggest problems that we have in this country. The debt has topped $22 trillion for the first time in history. We've added over $2 trillion to the debt just in the last 2 years.
And to me, what's amazing is that that was the whole Republican platform. You know, their thing was always, we've got to cut the national debt. We've got to cut it. And here they are. That mum's the word.
No one says anything.
They're not
about
saying
it.
A thing.
And I will say that the Democrats haven't paid much attention to it either. And it really is going to swallow us up if we continue. I mean, just think about it in your personal home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you just keep borrowing. And it used to be that we would borrow the money to invest in our future, like borrow money for infrastructure or something like that during the Roosevelt administration when we were rebuilding or for the war or something like that. We're not borrowing money to build or to invest in our future or help the environment or invest in clean energy or whatever. We're just borrowing money just to live day to day.
Because we don't have enough money.
Yeah. And the government, and so what happens is the interest payments on that debt, they consume the vast majority of the spending that we have. And that's going to continue to increase over time. Something has to be done about that. It's an emergency. And I'm hoping that somebody will start talking about it that's running for president.
I know.
I don't think anybody's talking about it right now. which I think is really weird. But anyway, so that's the economy. And I guess the takeaway that I want to say here is if you're out there, and I don't know if you're a Trump supporter, would you be listening to this? But if you voted for Donald Trump, knowing that you didn't care for what he said, but you felt like he was going to be good for the economy, in the short term, it may feel as though things are better. But in the long term, I think we're in for a world of hurt. There's future generations that are going to be paying
for
what's been occurring. And this debt didn't start with him, but it's certainly gotten a lot worse.
It's increased.
It continues to increase. That we were one of the reasons the debt increased during the Obama administration is because, well, one, we had the war, and another, we had the meltdown, and we had to feed all
and
that money to the bank.
He stepped into that situation.
So he stepped into that situation. This is a time when we need to be looking at reducing the debt right now, and that's not what's happening at all. So I think that, again, short-term gain, long-term loss, and I think that's what we're going to see. Now, when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other areas that have been affected or are being affected by Donald Trump. You are listening to WRFG 89.3 FM. This is Alternative Perspectives. I am your host, Craig Bosson, and we will be right back.
Hey now, this is Russ Still inviting you to WRFG's second Wormwood Opry on Saturday, August 17th, featuring Atlanta's own acoustic rockabilly trio, Rodeo Twister.
In a leather cat suit and go-go boots, mucha mascara and a beehive too. Cruising around in a V8 she had it all before.
Along with Rodeo Twister, we have Dave and Kim Chamberlain's Bright Moments duo.
Try to think that love's not around. Still, it's uncomfortably near.
So plan to join us Saturday, August 17th at the Ormwood Church for WRFG's Ormwood Opry with Bright Moments and Rodeo Twister. The doors will open at 7 o'clock. Music starts at 7:30. Tickets are only $10 at the door. Kids under 12 get in for free. Make sure you bring some extra cash for coffee, fresh homemade baked goods, and CDs. It's BYOB. The Ormwood Church is in the Ormwood Park neighborhood in Southeast Atlanta, 1071 Delaware Avenue Southeast. You can get directions and more details at our website, WRFG.org. Proceeds are going to benefit WRFG 89.3 FM, your independent community radio station for progressive information and hand-picked quality music.
Welcome back to Alternative Perspectives. Let's listen to this song for a second before we get into it. Chains of Love. This is Greg Bosson. Welcome back to Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only queer radio hour. And I'm with Jenny Maddox, wonderful ally and best friend. Say hello, Jenny.
Hello.
And we have been talking about what's been going on in the country.
The Trump effect.
So I want to talk a little bit about foreign policy for a second and how what's happening there. So what I'm seeing is we as a country now, through Donald Trump, are supporting and cozying up to really dictators. The main
North Korea
and
China. Well, he's trying to China.
Russia. Well, and then Putin is really the biggest one of all. He loves President Putin.
Oh, he does.
And so, and it, you know, it's one thing. And I will say, I'm not necessarily opposed to talking to our enemies. And to be honest with you, I don't know how you feel about this, Jenny, but I don't actually mind that he spoke to Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
Oh, I think it's good. It's a diplomatic way of dealing with the problem.
Yeah, I think that it was helpful, this idea that, you know, we're not going to speak to him until we already have a deal on the table.
No, I think you need to talk. That's very important.
Well, the other thing about that, to be honest with you, is I don't see how we can tell any country at all that they can't have a nuclear weapon when we have a nuclear weapon. I mean, I just think that's ridiculous. But anyway, it's kind of beside the point. But what the point is that in addition to cozying up to Kim Jong-un, Putin, what he's also doing is kind of thumbing his nose at traditional allies that we've had ever since World War II, all over Western Europe, as an example. And I'm concerned about that. He's also kind of supporting the breakup of Russia in a way. You know, he wanted Brexit to occur. It was part of like what was happening for him. He's all about nationalism, and you're all about your own country, and everybody else can go screw themselves. And Boris, and that was one of the reasons why Brexit passed, is because people were upset about immigrants coming in from the Middle East. And I guess it's one of the reasons why Trump won, is because people were whipped into a frenzy about being upset about immigrants coming from I don't know what that sound was, from Latin America. There's that sound again.
I don't know.
Sometimes it's louder than others here. It's weird. But anyway, so the point being is, European Union has been really good for that area of the world. You know, when you're on the world stage and you're competing with China, Russia, and the United States, and you're Italy, or you're England, even, or Spain, I mean, you really aren't going to have a lot of power.
Right.
And the European Union as a group has really been able to change the dynamic and put themselves out there as a real power. Well, I don't want the European Union to fall. I don't want that to happen.
No,
I don't think it's good. But anyway, that was a big ally that we had. Mm-hmm. And now we're not really allies with them. A lot of those people understand that they can't really rely on America anymore.
Yeah.
So we're kind of...
Our deals have been, demolished.
Yeah, well, he got the trade deals. He got out of the trade deals. He got out of...
The Iranian deal.
Now, to me, that was a huge problem. I felt like that we had made some real strides there.
And look, now we're having big problems.
And now we're in the middle of it. Well, I think he picked a fight
with Iran
and felt like he was going to be real tough with Iran, and then they would want to talk to him, just like Kim Jong-un did.
And they don't.
No, but Iran's not going to play
that. They're crazy over there.
Well, I don't think Iran is crazy, to be honest with you.
I mean... The fact that we had a negotiation, like a deal with them, along with other countries, I felt good about that.
Yeah, and then we pulled out. So we're alone. We are responsible for what's going to happen as a result of that.
Yeah,
that's
scary.
And if you think he's going to just... Yeah, they're going to cozy up and sign another deal, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
So, but just in general... So there's what's happened in terms of his non-support for Western Europe. But in addition, he's kind of ceded any sort of seat at the table in the Middle East.
Right.
You know, he's let Russia take over what's going on there. And I think that one of the reasons why we've been able to succeed as a superpower since World War II is based on our relationships with other countries.
Exactly.
And if you want to affect an outcome... then you need to be at the table.
He's taking us away from the table,
which would be fine if we lived in a vacuum and we lived in isolation, but that's not the way the world is.
Right.
So I think that what's happened in foreign policy, I'm really concerned about us losing our status in the world. It's almost like we're seeing the end.
Right.
You know, now, now we only have a few minutes. I'm going to cover just the other big thing I wanted to cover is the environmental is the EPA, which has been hollowed out.
He's made so many decisions on a daily basis affecting this.
43% of the key positions at the EPA are unfilled. Scott Pruitt, the original Secretary of State, he was not great. He received major corporate donations and employee campaign contributions from the fossil fuel industry. And as Oklahoma's Attorney General, Pruitt sued the Environmental Protection Agency at least 14 times. Then he turned around and became the director.
Right.
So they immediately started rolling back. Now, he got pushed out of office because he was spending too much money on his personal. So now we have Andrew Wheeler, which is the deputy administrator, previously worked for a law firm representing a coal magnate. So he was a coal lobbyist, and now we've got him running the EPA. To date, they have either completed or are in process a total of 83 rollbacks of environmental protections.
It's unbelievable.
So,
the effects of the long-term effects of these, that's what's so scary. It's like right now, it's like we're just trolling along, but, you know.
Again, short-term gain.
Long-term effects.
Long-term loss.
Yes.
Canceled a requirement for oil and gas companies to report methane emissions. Revised and partially appealed Obama-era rules limiting methane emissions. Loosened the Clinton rule designed to limit toxic emissions.
It just
goes on. And, I mean, there's 80-something of these.
I mean, he basically has put into his administrative the people that we used to regulate.
Correct.
He's put the regulated
right.
now are the regulators.
Right.
That's the scary.
Right. Let's see, repeal of the Clean Power Plan. He's proposed repealing of the clean, which would have set strict limits of carbon emissions for coal and gas-fired power plants. I mean, it's just insane. Scrapped a proposed rule that required mines to prove they could pay to clean up future pollution. Now they don't have to do that. Made significant cuts to the borders of two national monuments in Utah. Rescinded water pollution regulations for fracking on federal and Indian lands. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And, you know, we only have 5 minutes here.
I know.
I think what I want to do.
What do you want to end with?
Yeah, well, I think it's what's most important to me, and it's not in any of this. Most of this stuff I feel like can be undone, but there's one thing that can't be undone. And that is a Supreme Court justice.
Oh, I know.
So right now we are at a point where I think it's a 4-5 where,
right.
you know, there's more conservatives than liberals mm-hmm. on the court. And, you know, Justice Kavanaugh being the last one who, you know, I believe is anti-abortion. I mean, he says he believes in precedent, but I don't know what's going to happen there. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, she's holding it out, man.
She's holding out. I mean, she's not going to make it 6 years.
I know. So the next president
will be picking.
She'll be picking where it's going to be a total. Oh,
totally. So if he wins again.
It would be abortion, I feel like. I feel like he'll he'll get another justice in there, and then they will get a case.
Then we got a 6-3
yes.
with conservatives, and then the doors are open, and those justices are there for life. And I think for women
that are not taking notice of these laws that are going on, these ridiculous laws are going to make it. They're going to make it to the Supreme Court, and it's going to be decisions where they want to overthrow Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, I think, or at least limit the circumstances under which abortion occurs. So, I mean, I guess what I really wanted to say was we have got to vote, and we have to get involved. I have this hope that the reason why we are where we are and the reason why Trump was elected is because there were a lot of people that did not like Hillary Clinton, and we could talk about that. I didn't mind her at all, but there are a lot of people, progressives included, that didn't like Hillary Clinton. I believe a lot of people stayed home as a protest to say, you know what, I am not.
2020, you cannot stay home.
You can't do that.
They
did not think that their vote would change things.
Words.
They felt Hillary was going to be in office. In Michigan, Jill Stein for the Green Party, 40, 40,000 votes she got in Michigan. Hillary lost by 10,000 votes.
It would have been the difference.
It would have made the difference in that state. So I feel like we've got to vote. So I think as we end the show here, and thank you so much, Jenny, for joining
me. Oh, I loved it. Thank you.
And next week, by the way, we have an author. We're going to talk about being old, gay, male, and single. It's going to be real exciting. There's a real problem with it's a tough situation we got going on here these days in the world, but in the gay community that nobody talks about. But as I phase out, and we have Americana Pie coming up next. See, I'm learning, and yay! But we got that was me saying again. So we've got America Pie coming up next. But as I take you out here, do me a favor. What I'd like you to do is start asking people around you if they're registered to vote. See if people are registered to vote or if they're planning on voting. Just start asking the questions. I'm not asking you to get into a big political discussion. Just ask, because it's really, really important.
It is.
All right. Love you, man.